Welcome to the Fantasy Fight Night podcast. Andy was going
Welcome.
to steal the introduction from me, even
I
though
was.
that I am the guy. So get out of here.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. I just got back from vacation with my wife. It's at Dallas.
Excellent.
Was at the practice facility. If you all saw the Hard Knocks drone shot, I was out on that little field on the lead up, running up and down like a little schoolgirl.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
That campus is insane.
It is, dude. I remember the very first episode of the Hard Knocks this season when they showed it all. I couldn't believe that. But at the same time, it's the Cowboys, so I'm like, maybe I'm an idiot for not thinking that it would be like this. But before we go much further here, I want to let you guys know Adam is the host of another podcast as well, the Kurt Crew Fantasy Podcast. I'm a host of another podcast, the Bet Bath and Beyond Podcast. If you want more sports content similar to this, check out b3tsports.com. And the winner for the September jersey giveaway has been announced. Rob White was the winner. But don't fear. You can go to b3tsports.com/contest for the October jersey giveaway. Adam, you still cannot win.
Rob White is an anagram for Adam Kurt.
Yeah, well, it was funny. Our producer, Robbie.
Eight letters.
Our producer, Robbie, on the Bet, Bath & Beyond show, he's not really a big football guy. He's a really big baseball guy and big into hockey, but he's not a big football guy. He watches it every once in a while, but after like 3 weeks of him working with us, it was really funny that somebody named Rob and then somebody with such a generic last name, White, won the jersey. We're like, we wonder if that's Robbie. But we've reached out to Rob White, and we've been in contact with him. We're going to get him his jersey here very soon. But to start the episode, you want to do our stat of the week?
Yeah. Mitchell Trubisky scored more touchdowns than Justin Fields.
So here's the thing with that.
What
I don't
are we
blame.
Doing?
I don't blame Justin Fields.
No.
I blame Matt Nagy. Now, allegedly, he was not play calling this week. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Do you believe that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because they scored points.
Just with yes. They actually looked competent on offense. When they're efficient in the running game, that's when you know Bill Lazor's calling the plays. Nagy's ability to call passing plays is actually quite good. When he cannot get the run going, he's awful. And he hasn't been able to establish the run since 2018.
See, speaking of the Bears run game, we'll get into this when we talk about injuries here in a little bit. But I'm sorry for your potential loss, I have to say right away.
He's fine.
You think he's fine? You don't think that there's going to be any structural? They are hopeful that there's no structural damage to Monty's knee.
Everything that's coming out that I've seen thus far is they haven't even brought in running backs to look at.
Sure.
I mean, they think he's playing next week as of today.
Okay. My stat of the week is the league leaders in 15-plus yard receptions. There's a three-way tie between Debo, Terry McLaurin, and Kenny Galladay. And Kenny Galladay has not played as many games as those other two. That Kenny Galladay, I think he is a talented player. It surprised me a little bit that he was on this list.
It's his MO. It is
his MO. And I want to say I'm starting to heat up to Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones has never been the problem.
Okay, Daniel Jones. Okay, analytics might say that he is an all right quarterback, but it is undeniable that he was a turnover machine for his first 2 years in the
absolutely.
League. Like, he was the reason that they were losing games.
But you also go look at that offensive line, and
sure,
it doesn't matter who you are.
Right, but I just wanted to point out that I think that Daniel Jones is, you know, even though analytics would say that he is a good quarterback, he would get looked at kind of in a bad light because he was traded up for. He was turning the ball over a lot, and the Giants were just not good. So all those things together kind of make it look like Daniel Jones isn't good. Now, I'm even with a bad offensive line, even with Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard out, I thought he looked really good. So I just want to give him props for that. Are you hoping tonight for the Monday night game for anything special to happen for you? For
Austin Eckler needs to go bananas.
Really? How many points does he need?
A lot.
Really? I mean, that's possible for Austin Eckler, but
yeah,
just
he
because
needs
of
the touchdowns, but that really hasn't happened for him. But if he can know, take a 99-yard touchdown to the house, I would like. He just needs to, he needs to get targeted. I have him in PPR leagues, and that that would. But he's gotten 4 rushes for 35 yards, which is great. I mean,
he did leave the field a little bit limping. He's back, okay, obviously, but
I was working on other stuff.
But speaking of injuries, the well, before I hop to that, I don't really have anything riding on these games tonight. I do need Darren Waller and Austin Eckler combined to score less than 60 points. If they do that, then I'll win a matchup, but I'm not too worried about that. Okay, so the injuries that we had this week, we had Joe Mixon, who left the game. That's a little concerning. He's been pretty good for fantasy.
He's been all right. He's gotten a lot of volume. He just hasn't been hyper efficient with it.
Right. He did look good. Catcher. Right, right. DJ Chark broke his ankle.
Yeah, I didn't even see that play. It wasn't great. Oh, my gosh. That should have been a walk-in touchdown for Mike Williams. And Herbert
missed
him by 3 yards.
I'm curious. As I was watching that play, I was curious if, oh my gosh, if I'm Williams, I'm not even diving for that. I don't think that's even. Anyway, DJ Chark had an offensive lineman roll over onto his ankle. That was the big thing. I think he played 3 snaps or 4 snaps, something ridiculously low. Monty obviously had his knee injury. Here's a big one. Jimmy Garoppolo left the game with a calf strain. I don't know.
They came out and said it's day to day.
Yeah, did you think Lance looked better than Jimmy Garoppolo, though? Yeah, okay, so that's exactly.
The highs are much higher, the lows are much lower.
I agree. Now, I would argue, and I'm sure you would argue too, and a lot of people would, that you get better at playing football when you play football, right?
Correct.
Now, I understand, like, you traded up to get this guy, you don't want to hurt him. And it seems that the 49ers have injury issues year in, year out. Maybe he's scared. Maybe he actually thinks that Trey Lance isn't ready. But Jimmy Garoppolo has not looked good, I don't think. I don't think he's looked particularly great. I think that given – I know that you have – what do they have, a winning record? They're 2-1? No, they're 1-2.
They just lost to the
Which, I mean, the Seahawks desperately needed that win. But I don't think, like, if they were 4-0, I think it would be different. I think you would go, okay, Jimmy G is winning them games, and even if it's not his fault, they are winning games when he's on the field.
Yeah.
They're going to hit the bye week, and they're going to, I think, have to make a decision, right?
The offense is the problem.
Yeah.
Not that defense.
Oh, not at all. Dalvin Cook left the game, aggravated that ankle injury. That worries me. He always misses a couple games.
He always leaves the game. I've never seen a guy go down every single game, go to the medical tent, and then come back in. He does it after he's done it 3 times is usually when he stays out of the game.
Right. Well, and you would think I understand that he's your bell cow and he is part of the way you win games. But if you're Zimmer, at a point you got to go, okay, I understand that you've got an ankle injury. I know, like, it's a need to win week, but you got to not play this week because we need you down the line. It's really early in the season. You got to monitor that. Madison is potentially a viable play if he's out, but Teddy Bridgewater, concussion, he got rocked. He's definitely going to be out next week. I cannot imagine a world where he passes concussion protocol, but we'll see. Will Fuller broke his finger, and Logan Thomas has a hamstring injury. He is also day-to-day, I believe.
Yeah, we'll see.
Logan Thomas is interesting because that offense doesn't necessarily look bad, and I think he would have been Logan Thomas is like a viable option if you're like scraping the bottom of the barrel for tight end play, but I don't know if he'll play. But here, let's hop into week 4 amazing top scorers, because there were some weird ones, I think, this week. Number 1 at quarterbacks, we'll start at quarterbacks. I'll go through the top 5 here. Sam Darnold, Number two, Patrick Mahomes. Number three, Matt Ryan. Four, Tyler Heinicke. And five, Daniel Jones. I heard somebody call Sam Darnold this and made me laugh. Cam Darnold, he's got five rushing touchdowns in the first couple of games, which...
All right, can I just make a claim right now?
Yeah.
If you run a flat route with your running back on fourth down, you are the worst offensive coordinator in the league. Steelers have done this like three times, and they just did it with the Raiders just did it. And it literally has not worked. Stop doing it. Make him run up 5 yards, break out. Do not have him run to the flat. Really, it is so simple.
I think these guys are scared that their guys can't do it, which I know sounds ridiculous.
No, but no, you have to. You cannot get a million-dollar paying job as an NFL offensive coordinator and do dumb crap like this. Like,
I'll have you know that Adam Gase exists and he is still alive out there somewhere.
Yeah, he's reduced to coaching high school football. For a reason.
I heard they have a losing record, I believe, too. So,
do they?
That is what I had heard. Shock me. So, Sam Darnold, I mean, 33.5 points. They threw the ball 39 times, two touchdowns. He did throw two picks. Quarterbacks are going to throw picks, but for fantasy purposes, he looked good. He was sacked five times, though, and I don't think that Cowboys defense is that good. I think the Panthers' offensive line is that bad.
I think they hit a gem. The Cowboys hit an absolute gem late. I think they got a fifth rounder. I think he had six pressures, four hits on the quarterback. They weren't planning on him being a contributor, and he has, with the injuries, COVID, all the stuff, he's been a force. He's top five rated defender by PFF, pass rush wise.
I think people like Christian McCaffrey makes people forget that this offensive line is not that good because he's special, he's phenomenal, and he's able to avoid the contact sometimes, the initial contact. But I didn't think Hubbard looked bad at all. I mean, I thought he looked okay. I thought he looked like a rookie running back with lower expectations. But I mean, he was obviously no Christian McCaffrey. Patrick Mahomes had a day, mostly in part to Tyreek Hill. Five touchdowns, one interception. He's only sacked once. Matt Ryan threw the ball 42 times. Only completed 25 of them, but threw four touchdowns, three of whom to Cordarrelle Patterson, which is stupid, but it is what it is.
Holy crap. I mean,
what?
Just watching that play, I mean, that's not even hard.
Which one? The one that the... This game had a Cordarrelle Patterson.
He had a deep out. They just highlighted it. They had a deep out that if he had waited a half second more, Ruggs would have been wide open, no one within 5 yards of him. I mean, he had the time too. So I go to Eckler. There he is.
Do you think that? I mean, the Chargers are better than the Raiders, right?
Yes.
Are the Chiefs? The Chiefs are better than the Chargers, right?
No.
You think the Chargers are better than the Chiefs?
Yes.
Do you think it's just like if you just had to grade them, or is it like, do you think they're all around better?
I think the Chargers are the perfect counter to the Chiefs. That secondary is terrifying, and they have a little bit of pass rush. They're too reliant on Mahomes. They're learning how to use CEH over the past couple of weeks. But
that's true. I'm actually, as a back-to-back 100-yard Clyde games. Owner, I'm very excited for that. Daniel Jones comes in at five here, 27 points. He also threw the ball 40 times.
He put that team on his back.
Yeah. Well, Saquon looked good too. Saquon Barkley looked very much better than he did week one. I mean, that they ramped him up. He looked kind of like prime Saquon, right? He did it in the air. They got him the ball in space. That is the most important thing they did with Saquon. They got him the ball in space where he works best.
If
right?
he's not running at least five wheel routes a game just to make their defensive coordinator panic,
yeah,
you could hit him on one of those every single game because somebody's not going to be able to get on him. And it's like they finally ran one to him, and he's gone. I mean, you hit him. He had enough time to juke the safety, and nobody's catching him in the open field. Yep. It's just –
yeah, and if they use him like that, like for fantasy purposes, Saquon very well could be a top 5. I don't know if he'll finish top 5 on the season if things stay consistent, just because, you know, you missed the first 3 weeks being prime you. You're going to have that fall off. But from here on out, I can see him being a viable top fantasy option. I know people were scared. There, even after week one, I was kind of like, I was a little scared myself. But I have recovered. I'm all in on Saquon. Top 5 wide receivers. Oh, by the way, obviously, you see us talking about the Chargers-Raiders game. That game's going on. So if these guys have major games, these will get updated. But wide receivers, we have Tyreek Hill at 1, Deebo Samuel at 2, DJ Moore at 3, Terry McLaurin at 4, and Deontay Johnson at 5. Tyreek Hill's a monster. And we knew that. But 47.5 points.
I just faced the Mahomes Tyreek Hill.
Oh,
snack.
Did you really? Uh-huh. That's brutal. 186 yards for Tyreek. 12 targets, 11 caught, 3 touchdowns. What do you do?
Yeah.
Deebo, 12 targets, 8 receptions for over 150 yards, also 2 touchdowns. Ayuk had 1 catch for like 15 yards, 16 yards, something like that.
He's the one.
I think Debo's the one. I mean, Kittle, I don't know how to feel
Kittle
about.
Kittle is the 2.
I think he might be the 2. If he's not.
My brothers sell high on him. And Debo.
On George Kittle?
Yeah.
Oh, Debo.
Sell high on Debo. I think that he's going to end up being legit.
He could be.
Everyone's so afraid of him being injured. Like, and San Fran gets hurt all the time. He's an unbelievable threat. In the vein of A.J. Brown, I mean, you just look at the touchdown that he scored. He took 5 bodies with him to score. He put that team on his back. He gave that team a shot.
Yeah, no, he did. And, you know, as we're talking about George Kittle, I was talking with somebody, another writer at Dynasty Pros. We were just shooting a conversation, and we were talking about George Kittle as an elite talent. But he reminds us, and I thought this was an interesting comparison, he reminds me very much of Shockey. He was an incredible tight end, but you know what he does? He runs heavy, and he runs hard, and he doesn't go down on first contact, which usually is a good thing, but he doesn't go down on second contact. He plays rough, and I feel like that could limit his career. I mean, we've seen that with tight ends before.
Kittle's gotten the money. They have just figured out.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan's figuring out the best thing for Jimmy G is Deebo. Now, I realize that Trey Lance threw the touchdowns. That was the game plan. They weren't planning on Trey Lance coming in. They were still running that script. Now, Trey Lance comes in. He can throw a ball up the seam. You saw he passes the eye test. That kid has – I didn't believe in the tools. He's the only – he, Mahomes, and Josh Allen have the biggest cannons in the league. And I don't know that Trey Lance is number 3 in that comparison.
I also think, again, not that his QB play has been very good, but I also think that Zach Wilson has a cannon. And we did get to see that a little
bit. He's got a different – he's got an Aaron Rodgers sort of cannon.
Yeah, he does. He does. But it's not like – but I agree. It's not like those other –
the velocity that kid put on some of those balls, it made Brett Favre look like he was throwing a changeup. I seriously – I've never seen a ball travel like that. It was early Cam Newton when he couldn't check down. That ball's coming out, and it's like that's breaking fingers.
I think the biggest jump, and everyone has talked about this, the biggest jump that Trey Lance is going to have to make is going from, you know, the level of college ball that he played to the NFL. I mean, it's not often that you are asked to do that. I know that they've been easing him in slowly, so I would expect that by the time he's going to be called the 49ers starter, he should be ready for it. But his tools are there. He's got athletic ability. We'll have to see. DJ Moore comes in at 3. Sam Darnold and DJ Moore are looking very, very good together. I think that DJ Moore, this might be the year, this might be the year that he actually breaks out. And I know he's broken out before. He's been a good receiver, but I'm talking like a legitimate, if he is used to his full potential, he will be a top 6 wide receiver this year.
Yeah, he's finally the touchdown scorer. That's all he's needed. And he's lived that. I'm a Bears fan, and I spent all offseason going back and forth on sending Allen Robinson for DJ Moore.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it because I thought Allen Robinson would score more touchdowns.
Yeah, and I don't. There's no reason, you know, that you shouldn't have thought
Dynasty,
that.
Yeah, and like I would have sent a little bit more maybe with Robinson for the youth of, you know,
right,
I would have been sending him to a fellow Bears fan, so I might have been able to. But now I can't. Yeah.
Terry McLaurin is so good at football. Like, me and you had talked about this before. I have him as a top 12 wide receiver in the league. I don't know where he is currently on the season, but he had a 30-point game, 13 targets. He only caught six of them, for 123 yards and two touchdowns. I wish he had Fitz thrown on the ball, but he doesn't. He's got Heinicke. And Heinicke is not bad. I mean, he's just not good. He's going to give him some targets that aren't great. But I think as long as McLaurin's on the field and Heineke's willing to take shots and Ron Rivera's going to let him, Terry McLaurin is a top option in the league. I mean,
yeah,
it's just...
he's six in PPR if you don't include Patterson, who fits both.
Yeah,
positions.
I've been counting him technically as a running back just for all purposes. I don't know how that's going to work out on some
because,
apps.
Yeah, you have to play him at running back if you have him.
Right.
With how running backs start, you can find wide receivers.
And then Deontay Johnson picked up exactly where he left off when he didn't play last week because of an injury, but 13 targets, 9 receptions, 92 yards. He's the most consistent guy, wide receiver in this offense, at least. I will say Juju, I think, would be a solid option, but Big Ben missed him on like wide misses. Like
Deontay Johnson is, you know, everyone's like, oh, he's getting all the targets and stuff. That's because Big Ben can't throw.
Right. He looks cooked.
He is cooked. He's done. And based off of the eye flirting that was happening between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. Seriously.
Yeah.
I could see Juju taking a pay cut. He could go play with TJ Watt. They could spend all offseason saying, hey, offensive line, we're going to take a shot with this defense. Let's rebuild the offensive line. We have crazy weapons here. I can go win with this team because – Green Bay doesn't have the defense, clearly, or the weapons. Like
now, here's the interesting thing too. I mean, like, do you think Devontae Adams would take a pay cut because he's also a free agent next year? If
I think based on how well Derek Carr is playing, I think he wants to go back and play with Carr, and based on how everything is going, Carr's been balling out this year.
No, he has. He has, and they have not secured him with a...
I think Carr gets an extension. They lock him up for a long time basically with John Gruden, you know, for like another 6 years. And don't have to pay him top dollar, but then they can reload. Yeah, I mean, you have Darren Waller and Devontae Adams on the same field. I mean, you have...
And their defense isn't...
You now have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce-esque weapons on the same field. You have
Ruggs
as a competent field stretcher, Renfro out of the slot. If Devontae Adams goes there, they genuinely have better weapons than the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's mind-boggling. But if he doesn't need to get paid like the best in the league, Derek Carr, if he doesn't need to get paid like the best in the league.
Well, and Carr might even be okay with that just financially because you don't need the world's biggest contract. A six-year contract is plenty. You know what I mean? Like, don't pay me top. Give me 6 years.
If he goes 6 years, $30 million, I've been talking about this with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, like, everyone's like, oh, he should get, like, command all this money. He should take the biggest pay cut because he could keep so much talent, crazy talent around him, and people want to be there.
Because it's the Browns. I'm thinking also, like, while we're talking about it and hashing it out, people are talking that it might be really hard for the Ravens to pay Lamar only because of shelf life, not because he's not worth it in talent, but because like running quarterbacks don't last as long. And we've seen that. We know that that's the truth, but do you think that that's going to be an issue for them?
I think what they're having to deal with is it's already pricey to pay for a quarterback.
Right.
Like, and he's won the MVP.
Yes, he is great.
They beat the Chiefs, which was kind of a big marker for him. But he's a 1,000-yard rusher. He is literally two positions in one. He's their best running back and quarterback. If anything, the issue that they're going to run into is he commands more money than Patrick Mahomes.
I think he likes the Ravens. I think he likes Baltimore. I think that, I mean, you have to know your worth, but I also think that he would be willing, not take a pay cut, but I don't think he's going to come out and be like, I need $35 million a year.
I don't think he will. I think Baker Mayfield will entertain it before he will, because of the fact that Baker Mayfield, off those commercials alone,
yeah.
I mean, he's going to retire on that money.
And Baker, I like Baker too. I also think Baker knows where his like bread is buttered. I think he knows exactly what he needs to do to be successful in this league. Not that he thinks he's a bad quarterback or anything. I'm sure he thinks he's a great quarterback, and he is a good quarterback, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not, you know what I mean? Okay. Running backs really quick. Patterson at 1, Barkley at 2, Henry at 3, Montgomery at 4, and Najee Harris at 5. I kind of feel bad for Najee Harris. I wish they had a competent line because I would be so in on him, obviously, but I wasn't. I don't own him in any leagues. I was not very confident in him being running back 2. I'm being proven wrong.
He's like top 6.
And not only am I being like, I knew he'd get volume. Like, without a doubt, I knew that. But I thought that line would be atrocious. And I was right. That line is atrocious. But man, Najee Harris is looking great.
Yeah. And Cordarrelle Patterson, that line is not great. It's not. But it doesn't matter when he just steps out from behind the line and they just float in the ball. And then he's like, oh, everyone forgot about me because everyone keeps thinking I'm Mike Davis. And it's worked out very well for them.
It's worked out great for them. The biggest thing for me is I know that he has scored phenomenally well over the last 3 weeks. I'm not going to take that away from him. You have to follow that. But you also have to follow, look at his snap share, 30%, 42%, 30%. He's only getting 6-7 rushing attempts. Yeah, he's getting targets, understandably. Like, it's great, especially in PPR. This is not sustainable at 30% snap share for an entire season. I don't think it will be, right? If I'm being crazy, tell me, but I don't think it can be.
I think someone has finally figured out how to use Cordarrelle Patterson.
Sure.
I think he's going to be extended and is going to be the true running back for them for a couple of years. If you think about it, he's only done kick returns and 1 year of big usage. He's still clearly a freak athlete. He's huge.
Yeah.
And has unbelievable game-breaking speed. I think he's the guy there. And it's just a matter of time before they integrate him more.
Now, that is the thing that you'd be hoping for as it goes. I mean, they have a bye week coming up. So I do want to stress that if you think that he is the guy and you like it, they play the Jets, then they have a bye week, and then they play Miami. Miami is one of the two worst teams against fantasy running backs in the league. Okay? So if they integrate Cordarrelle, it's being wasted. I don't even want to talk about, like, even if Tua was healthy, I think that they would be wasted. They have just looked so bad on so many facets of the game. And I was excited for Miami. I thought Miami had a shot this year, at least.
You know who I'm going to start buying into? The Philadelphia Eagles.
Just in general, or like?
Yeah, this team. So I'm all in on Jalen Hurts being the guy. All in. He has a look.
I'm with it.
He's given them a chance. As of right now, they would have 3 top 9 picks.
I think I'm in on the Eagles as well.
They are going to add premier talent at unbelievable cost, be able to basically turn over that roster. If they continue to lose, watch for them to unload some of their older offensive linemen for picks to teams down the stretch. And Ertz, I think that they're holding out for a really good offer. I think they'll unload some of this money and contracts, bring in a whole bunch of young guys, keep a couple of the core guys, and they're going to be dangerous.
I think so too. This year, I think this year might be a wash for them. Yeah. Just because they don't, I don't just think they've
Dallas,
got the,
Dallas is walking away with that division.
Dallas is good. And this is the Dallas I thought I was going to see last year. Obviously, Dak got hurt. The defense didn't look good. And that kind of, you know, stung a little bit. I was coming into this year, I wasn't sure. That first Bucs game, though, I was like, the Cowboys are legit. They have shown me that they're legit. They have Zeke back. Like, I don't know. I'm hyped for that. I just wanted to kind of hit on the percentage use there. If you think that they're going to up the usage there, Cordero Patterson is for sure a solid guy. And I also would like to point out that his ownership percentage is like 70% at the moment, like across ESPN, and NFL and Sleeper. The average ownership is like 70%. That is not high enough for somebody who has done what he has done. He needs to be rostered.
Yeah,
he needs to be rostered. If you are in a league and he is not rostered, just go pick him up.
Dump every single bit of fab you have.
Yeah, I think it's insane. Next up, we had Barkley. Again, we knew that Barkley looked great. Averaging 4 yards a carry this week, 52 yards on 13 attempts, a touchdown. He had a touchdown through the air. Henry, 33 attempts for 157 yards.
How they lost that game is just beyond me.
The Titans are in trouble. I know that they didn't have Julio, and I know they didn't have A.J. Brown, but you can't lose a game to the Jets in that fashion.
No Arthur Smith, man.
I know, and they gotta figure it out.
Yeah, and then David Montgomery, if he had not gotten hurt,
right,
that would have been a lot bloodier for the Lions. And also, Damian Williams got a rushing touchdown. So, I mean, it could have been a superstar day. Zeke was right there.
And then Najee Harris, we already talked about him. Although, I will say, Najee Harris, this is his lowest percentage of snaps to date so far in the NFL. 80% snap share. So
and those snaps that he wasn't in there was bad for the team.
They were bad for the team. Favorite part of the show, let's talk about tight ends. And honestly, I'm just going to bring it up. Kelce had a bad week.
Yeah.
But that happens every single time that Tyreek Hill goes off. It's just what happens. CJ Uzama, tight end 1, tight end 2, Knox, 3, Mo Alie-Cox, 4, Dalton Schultz, and 5, Max Williams. So this is Max Williams' second time in the top 5.
It's just a crazy offense. It is.
If you're chasing that touchdown,
I would go after every single one of the guys higher on this list, though. Uzama, Knox, Mo Alie-Cox, Dalton Schultz before him.
My order in which I would go after these guys, to me, I think would be Knox and Schultz are tied. Schultz, Knox, I feel like, gets one. See, I think Schultz gets way more looks throughout the game, but
Michael Gallup is coming back.
He is. That is correct. But Amari Cooper has been looking like he keeps leaving games. Now I know he's done this kind of his whole career, but like I was nervous. He left the game after the first snap in against the Panthers, and he came back luckily. But I just are you worried about CeeDee Lamb at all? He had 5 targets, only 2 catches.
I think that teams are scheming for him.
Sure.
I think he is the biggest threat, and they are planning on stopping one thing, and it just happens to be CeeDee. And, you know, one game they'll be able to key in on Zeke and Pollard to go off because of it, and then CeeDee and Amari will both eat.
Yeah.
They're going to be 450 yards of total offense every single week. They're insane.
Yeah,
they are the best offense in football because they are the most balanced. Kellen Moore knows exactly what he's doing. They took the Super Bowl champs down to the wire in Dak's first game back. You put them together in the playoffs, I think Dak walks away with that game.
And Dak looked really, really – I love Dak. Like, you and I both are really big Dak fans.
Yeah.
I was a big advocate of paying him. I'm glad they did it. It's good for their team. I'm excited to see how they continue to move on through the year. But that's why I do like Schultz. I just feel like he's involved. I know that Gallup is coming back, so that's a very excellent point. Knox is a red zone target for them, for the Bills. So
yeah, I mean, Josh Allen's going to throw like 3 or 4 touchdowns every single week. He has a chance of catching one. And at the tight end position, you know, it may that's not be valuable. Great at the wide receiver, but it's going to be unbelievable at the tight end position. He's going to be solid for you.
Alrighty, so now we've got a couple of things. We talked a little bit about them as we were going through, because some of these guys landed on the top five list, but we're going to play some too legit to quit. We're going to talk about if these guys who have done well over the season, if they are legit or if they're just, you know, one-hit wonders, if you should let go of it. Obviously, we talked about Cordarrelle Patterson already. You think he's legit. I think he's talented, but I've just – at his current usage, if that remains the same, I'm out on him. If we think it's going to get better, then I'm obviously going to want a piece of that. It's just that he's really weird because you cannot go and trade for him right now. He's too hot. If you are the Cordarrelle Patterson owner, should you be trying to trade him and upsell him for something a little bit more stable, or are you riding Cordarrelle Patterson?
I mean, with that usage, obviously, if you can parlay him into somebody, if you can turn him into a Dalvin Cook, a Zeke, a Najee. Do a little bit of – I take Monty over him just because I think there's more volume there. But CEH. Yeah, I mean, I'd value him as an RB2, but if you can get somebody to overpay and chase the points,
right,
smash that.
I'm in the same boat as you.
But at the same time, you don't need with the running back starved position, yeah, don't starve it unless if they give you an offer you can't refuse. Clearly, he's shown an ability to score, and clearly has one of the better offensive weapons on a team that's going to be playing from behind constantly.
Mm-hmm. Debo Samuel.
He's legit.
I also think he is legit.
He's legit.
Danny Dimes.
He is a legit NFL quarterback. He is going to produce fantasy viable weeks. He's either going to run for 50 yards or throw for 350 to 400.
I completely agree.
Back end QB1.
He has been a top streamer in all of my articles for the last 3 weeks. He has gotten it done every week for the last 3 weeks. Pretty soon you're not going to be able to stream him anymore because he's going to be somebody's weekend starter. So this is probably the last week that you're going to get a shot at that. Go spend a little bit of your fat. I mean, I know it's a QB, so don't go nuts. Like, don't go breaking the bank for Danny Dimes. But if you need a QB and you are desperately looking, Danny Dimes, I think, is a great pickup. Max Williams, we talked about this as well. I think he's athletic. I think that offense is crazy. But I'm not banking on Max Williams every single week.
No.
I don't think it's legit. I think you
can get things from him. I think defense is not your Jalen Ramsey is not going to be matched up on Hopkins every week.
No, that's true. I mean, and Hopkins, and that was, you know, Hollywood Brown. Now, he had the bad game against the Lions. He dropped the 3 passes that should have just been like home run touchdowns. But I think next week Bateman should be returning. Are you sticking with Hollywood through that time, or are you trying to trade him after the big game this week and trying to get something for him?
If you can trade him, great. If not, ride him out. He has shown that he is what he was supposed to be this year. He really looks like a different football player, and I buy into it. I bought into him as a legit NFL threat. Now, he's not going to be a target monster. I think you're going to see Bateman do that. But you're now going to have Bateman underneath, Mark Andrews over the middle, Marquise Brown over the top. They're going to have a full actual kit of excellent weapons to...
Now, this isn't on our list, but while we're talking about the Ravens, Tyson Williams was a healthy scratch this week.
Don't get me started. His worst yards per carry in a game thus far was a game that they were struggling in, had no offensive line. Mm-hmm. He was averaging 4.4 yards per carry. Why is this kid not out there? Now, Ryan, my brother, gave me some context. I haven't been able to watch that many games. I've been traveling a lot and haven't been able to go back and watch a whole lot of tape. Mm-hmm. Normally, I'm pretty good about that. You know, Monday, Tuesday, I grind it out. I haven't seen – Ryan said the biggest thing is pass protection. He's awful in pass protection.
100%.
Keeping him off the field. And that – to me, you should still put him out there because he is clearly your best running back.
It's really tough for a team that runs the – because the – they like to run the football, obviously, with their quarterback sometimes too, you know, every once in a while. They also like to spread the field when they're able to do so, and it's really tough to spread the field and have, like, your minimum amount of linemen if your running back can't pass block. It's hard to do that. So unless you're going to bring in an extra lineman to do it and limit your passing options, it's just not their offensive style, so I totally understand.
Yeah.
And then next one. AJ Green. Is AJ Green legit?
He's a big bodied receiver. I would rather have Christian Kirk.
I call for him.
He's the legit deep threat. AJ Green is going to get crappy coverage. He's going to get the third cornerback every once in a while. And AJ Green, even in the state, against the third cornerback, is going to eat whoever that is alive unless if it's the Chargers.
So I agree. Last week I was in the same boat. I said take Kirk over Green. But 6 targets every single week for the first 4 weeks. He has seen over 80% of snap share every single time. That offense is crazy. I think with what AJ Green has left, 6 targets every single game guaranteed so far. That is phenomenal value.
I mean, if you need somebody, they're throwing for 400 yards a game.
Right.
Kyler Murray is the MVP right now.
He should be. He is insane. Oh, my goodness. I just think about that offense and I get I wanted to bring Green up, though, because, again, that's one of those, they have a lot of mouths to feed. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be covered by Ramsey every week. You said it earlier. It's 100% factual. It's not going to be a thing. But AJ Green is also, like you said, going to get the worst of their coverages. So he's always going to have – he's probably going to be open a majority of the time. So now here are the guys that started off kind of poor. Well, I mean, not always – not really poor, but they started off maybe a little rocky after the first game. I want to know what your thoughts are on them bouncing back. Obviously, we're gonna start with Alvin Kamara because I feel like people who drafted Kamara have not, they haven't been very happy.
He just hasn't scored enough. But he's gotten crazy volume. Even if he doesn't catch the passes, I'm all for Alvin Kamara. If you can get him for Cordarrelle Patterson, you can get him
100%.
For just about anyway. I'd take him over David Montgomery. You have to understand that I think David Montgomery is edging his way into a top 5 back in this league. But that offensive line is insane, and I think we're edging closer after losing to the Giants. We're edging closer to the Taysom Hill show.
See, I was wondering that as well because that offense looks broken, and they don't let Jameis throw it. They let Taysom.
Taysom has. They've been demonstrating that Taysom can finish runs.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton, all you have to do is go. Let's put Taysom out there. We literally split Kamara on whatever side. We run an option with him. Taysom thinks he's going to get hit. It flicks out, and Kamara scores. If it's one-on-one, Taysom Hill can take that guy on and score. Yeah. So, now, I mean, it's such a simple red zone concept, but it would be extremely beneficial for both of them. I think that team just in general, because Jameis is Jameis. He's doing exactly what he did at the Buccaneers.
Right, and it looks – and people are a little concerned because it doesn't look – people don't understand that what you just said is extremely accurate. He is doing the exact same thing with the Buccaneers, but he's not scoring touchdowns, but he's also not turning the ball over. Yes. So, like, people are like – it's just because he has lower volume. Bruce Arians was having him throw the ball 50 times a game. Sean Payton won't let him throw it over 25. Like, he just won't let him, and that's because he's trying to limit his mistakes, which I understand that completely. But if you're going to have a guy like Jameis, You're going to have to let him sling.
It'll be interesting. I think that what they want is to get Jameis with Michael Thomas. I think they want him to have an effecto one. And I think that they're struggling with the lack of weapons. I mean, I was all in on Adam Troutman. And they basically sold that entire draft to get him. And he has been useless.
Well, and I understand where some of this hardship comes from, because what are you going to do? Are you going to sit both of them down and go, all right, Taysom, you're the starter until Michael Thomas is back? And he's going to be like, well, I want Michael Thomas. And what if they throw him in there and they start winning? I mean, they'll probably, it just would be a whole mess. So I don't envy their position, but they knew what they were doing. They were signing, you know, Jameis. This was going to be a conversation. CeeDee Lamb, we talked a little bit about. He only had like two targets. What was it last week? This week he had 5 targets. I know we're talking, they key in on him a lot. He's still going to have really big games throughout the rest of the season. Season is just starting. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was very confused.
Oh, you were just seeing if that was a fumble or a pass? Or
no, I was very confused by the pre-snap. There was a wide receiver who was very, very confused and gesturing frantically. And so I was trying to figure out if somebody was hurt or if he, had no idea what was going on in the play. Like, they were hurrying up.
Usually when I see that, I always just assume that the receiver is like, I'm being covered by a linebacker right now, so, just look at me. Like, look at me for 2 seconds, and then, we'll score a touchdown. Which, man, that – I see that all the time. You know who does that the most? Antonio Brown. Whenever I see Antonio Brown get a good matchup, he's always like hand immediately. I can't believe he dropped those passes. Well, dropped the one pass. It was tight coverage and pouring rain.
That whole game, that they did everything to try and make Tom Brady lose. Holy cow.
Yeah.
His weapons.
I mean,
even Mike Evans, who I am.
Right. We didn't really talk about that game. Antonio Brown got 11 targets. We know that it's going to be different every single week because it's just based on game plan. But did they look really hurt without Gronk, you feel?
No, I think that the weather and the pressure of the game actually got to them. I think this was their in-season Super Bowl. I don't think they handled the pressure well.
Okay, we got 2 more here for bounce back. We have Jonathan Taylor. He did bounce back against Miami. Over 100 yards. He rushed for a touchdown. I mean, if he didn't, we were going to have serious problems because, like we mentioned earlier in the show, Miami's one of the 2 worst defenses when it comes to dealing with fantasy running backs. So if he didn't perform, we'd have problems. But the rest of season, are you confident in Jonathan Taylor? I mean, I personally still believe in the talent.
I think this offense is going to mesh here. I think that the players sat down, figured out what they need to do on defense, figured out what they need to do on offense, and I think they're slowly going to reintegrate. And here's the thing. They are right in the thick of that playoff hunt. That is the worst division in football. Tennessee,
100%.
Colts, Jags, Texans. Texans have a legit shot at the division title. You know what their biggest handicap is? Tyrod Taylor got hurt.
Yeah, no,
I genuinely think
agree.
They would be leading this division had Tyrod Taylor not gotten
hurt. I'm not going to go nearly as far as, say, leading the division, but I will say, because it happened on Thursday, we didn't talk about this, Trevor Lawrence looked the best he has looked against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And he's only going to get better. People joked on Twitter a lot. They're like, what is the generation? Touchdown. Oh my god, that lineman just lifted him up completely. That was full extension.
I just saw him come up immediately. He had the linebacker. I knew it was over.
Running backs running wheel routes is one of my favorite things ever because it's like, you know that they're either going to score.
Eckler is the best in the business at it. Like,
I don't know. Chris McCaffrey runs a mean wheel route.
Not like Eckler does.
Dude, did you see... in the Cowboys game, they lined DJ Moore up as a running back to run real wheel routes.
Yeah.
Somebody was going to do it.
They ran him on the, what was it? What's that? The Texas route?
Yep.
That touchdown at the end. And Dallas was like, wait, what? And he was wide open. There was nobody in the middle of the field.
Dude, is this going to be a stomp, isn't it? And then finally, number four on the bounce back, we got Clyde. He's looked better. They're integrating him into the passing game.
Back-to-back 100-yard games. And here's the thing that you have to understand. That offensive line is getting reps together. They put a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of new pieces together. They are winning at the point of attack. And Eagles' defensive line is actually really good. And really good against the run. It was impressive. And to have back-to-back 100-yard games when this league really hasn't had a whole bunch of people run for 100-yard games. I mean, Monty, Henry, CEH, Zeke, I think are the only ones with multiple 100-yard games.
I'm in on the bounce back. Like, now again, I don't want people to overreact. He's had two good games. I think it's going to come down a little bit. It's going to be somewhere in the middle. I don't think he's going to be nearly as bad as he was in the first 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks always suck because if you have dud games, everyone freaks out. But if you play 13 or 12 weeks and then your week 9 and 10 are bad, no one freaks out if you've had pretty good weeks. You know, it's consistency is key.
Yeah.
Maybe he got his out of the way early and he's going to be consistent the rest of the year. That very well could be. But I'm not trading him necessarily. I'm not looking to trade him anymore. Like last week, I had a moment. I own Clyde in a lot of leagues, and I thought to myself, he just had a good week. I might be able to trade him for something, like for value. But if I'm shallow running back in a lot of those leagues, I have to hold.
Yeah.
So now we're going to talk about week 5 waiver targets. This is the same kind of thing we did last week. I'm going to go over some of these guys just because they're named. Oh, that was almost – so bad. Oh my gosh. That was such
fack
a great play too.
What the fack roll?
Dude, he tipped it. Here's the thing. He saw what was happening there. He took a drop step to tip it and almost intercepted it.
Yeah.
Okay. So same thing as last week. I'm going to name these guys just because they're on the list does not mean that they're pickups, but I just want to talk about them. So first and foremost, we got Sam Darnold. He's only owned in 27% of leagues.
Yeah.
If you need a quarterback,
especially in 4-point passing, I believe that he's QB5.
Yeah.
Now here's my advice. If he's out there, pick him up and then point out that he's number 5 and then go get somebody a little bit more stable. See if you can parlay him into a Hurts, Lamar Jackson, somebody with a better rushing floor. Yes, he's scoring the rushing touchdowns like crazy. Once CMC is back, he'll still get his. He's going to end up with 10 rushing touchdowns on the year. Good for him. Yeah. But
it's just not going to be consistent. It's not going to, you're going to be able to know. So they play Philly. Their next 3 games are Philly, Minnesota, Giants. So, he's totally playable in all 3 of those matchups.
Yeah.
I would definitely take a look at that. Next up, we have Trey Lance. Now, this obviously is just dependent on Jimmy Garoppolo. If Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing,
at this point, analytics point to week 4 being the turning point for rookie quarterbacks. That's the most likely. I think they have to give Lance a shot. And I think that he was the best option for them. Yes, he's going to make some boneheaded mistakes.
Yeah, but rookie mistakes.
He has, as soon as you get him more reps, he's going to make better decisions, and he has truly unbelievable elite talent. Like, I love Justin Fields. Justin Fields is there's Mina Keem's retweeted. There is a play Russell Wilson did his rookie year, an out route. Same concept. The Bears ran the exact same play. Justin Fields and Russell Wilson put it in the exact same spot. And it's like there are not other quarterbacks who can position a ball like that. So he doesn't have the same cannon, but I think he's got the rainbow Russell Wilson ball. Trey Lance just has straight heat. And he has guys that can win with straight heat. George Kittle, you put a heat ball up the seam, he's coming down with that. And it's going to wreck defenses.
Well, and if Kittle's back and they're saying Lance is the guy, I would 100%. I would go take a shot at that.
I would go grab him this week if he's out there, because odds indicate that he's there.
30.3% ownership across the three major fantasy platforms. I think that he's definitely worth a shot, especially to stash. Tyler Heinicke, 12.8% owned. Again, not all of his games look great, but I mean, week one, one touchdown. Week two, two touchdowns. Week three, two touchdowns. Week four, three touchdowns.
He can run, and he can. He's
as long throwing. As long as Terry McLaurin's there.
As long as his defense is as bad as it is, I don't understand. I don't. Their safeties are unreal.
Their front seven is crazy.
Their front seven is crazy.
Did you happen to see their
cornerbacks roughing, have to?
Did you see the roughing call on?
What was it? Payne?
On Chase Young.
No.
He tried to stop himself. It was the most ridiculous, craziest call I've ever seen. He tried to stop himself. He thought Matt Ryan had already thrown the ball, but he didn't. And then so he pulled his hands back, you know, and like he stayed up and went around him and he like brushed him. And then Matt Ryan went down on a knee and then threw the ball. And like it was called roughing the passer. And it was the craziest thing. Twitter went nuts over it for. I would love to, I'll show you. I'll send you a clip after the show. Okay. But it was actually insane. And then we talked earlier, Daniel Jones. That's all I'll say for that. He's not owned very much in leagues either. I definitely go get him. I got like 31%.
He's got a lot of weapons and can run.
Speaking of can run, running backs. So if Monty plays, obviously don't worry about it. If Monty is out, Damian Williams is going to be – I don't know if I would pick him up. It depends on the extent of the injury. The Bears' offensive line is not good. Monty makes that offensive line look way better than it is.
Yeah.
If I'm Damian Williams out there, if you're desperate and he is the guaranteed 100% starter, okay, I do what you have to do.
Yeah,
but
if you
I'm
have
not...
somebody, another crappy running back, a Ty Jones, a David Johnson, he's worth swapping out just because right. He might be able to get the volume this week.
Now, again, we'll have to wait and see. We'll monitor Joe Mixon, but Samaje Perine, he's only 2.2% owned. Based on the volume they gave Mixon, Perine should get volume. Alex Collins is only 1.3% owned. Nothing is wrong that I'm aware of with Chris Carson, but he is not getting the volume we expected. He's not getting any of the pass work. This team is constantly, typically, behind in the second half, and that's usually when they fall apart and they stop using Chris Carson.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have any Chris Carson shares.
This defense hasn't
proved to be good enough to I'm all in on Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett. I have that stack all day, but Chris Carson, they just abandoned the run in the second half because they have to.
So, again, that's the team abandoning the run. That's not like them abandoning Chris Carson. So that's what I want to say with Alex Collins. I know he got a little bit of work this week, but Penny is off the injured list. They've got the three running backs now, technically. They don't run a whole lot. I wouldn't chase Alex Collins by any means. Unless you're the Chris Carson owner and something comes out that, oh, he didn't play because he was hurt a little bit, then maybe it's worth something, but I'm not messing with that. Latavius Murray, he was the lead back. 36.1% owned. I don't want any of this backfield. I really don't.
Latavius Murray's every two out of 3 weeks, he's going to get a touchdown. That's how they're using him.
Yep. Okay, wide receivers. We talked about Josh Gordon last week. He is now 14.5% owned.
He'll be eligible to play this next week, and
they're saying he might.
You run Tyreek Hill straight up the field. You run Travis Kelce over the middle of the field, and you run Josh Gordon kind of a trips vert with a deep crosser.
Well, you'll get everyone one-on-one.
Josh Gordon against any safety in the league. He's coming at 7% body fat. He's 230. They said that he looks incredible. He looks like Flash. They don't need him to run a whole bunch of fancy concepts. They just need him to flash.
Now, if he is good, which I'm not going to say he will be. Who knows? He hasn't played football, like legitimately played football in a while. The person who I think this hurts the most, which I hate to say it, could be Travis Kelce. Because the only time we ever see Travis Kelce have a bad game is when Tyreek Hill goes off. Now, Tyreek Hill wouldn't have to go off if both Tyreek have a good game and Josh Gordon has a good game.
I think it raises the floor of the entire offense.
That could be. I'm not, and this isn't me calling the death of Travis Kelce relevance. That would be ridiculous. Like, I'm just saying the only time we ever see Travis Kelce have a bad game is when Tyreek Hill goes nuts. So I just want to throw that out there. Jameson Crowder, he had a ton of targets in PPR. He's only 15.6% owned. Go get Jameson Crowder.
Go get him.
We talked
Wilson,
about AG.
Wilson looked like BYU Wilson this week. Now it was
More options.
He plays the Falcons next week. Absolutely. Sign me up. Go get Jameson Crowder because he is the safety blanket. And I'm all for it.
We've already talked about AJ Green. Randall Cobb. This one's interesting. No. He's only 11.8% owned. No. I'm not chasing it. One thing I will say, though, is it's very rare that you have a QB come out and say, I want you to go get this guy. You have to sign this guy. I would keep an eye on it. If you have an extra spot and you're really shallow at wide receiver and he's available, I think there are guys I'd go get before him. But if he's the best available, I don't mind holding him for a week to see like what next week looks like for him. Darnell Mooney, he is the most owned on this list at 44.9%.
Yeah, go get him because Justin Fields has a top five deep ball in this league already. In the past 35 years, that was the second highest average depth of target in a game for the Bears. And we didn't like blow the Lions out. No. He didn't have – Justin Fields didn't throw a touchdown. He was just getting warmed up. He had the second highest, the only being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers blowout by Mitch Trubisky, where they had blown coverages on every single play, it seemed like, and he threw six touchdowns. His average depth of target was the highest in 35 years. This is the first game where they actually opened up the playbook, and he's already able to – bring explosive plays to this offense. They didn't translate to scores, but Mooney is unbelievable. They're going to let Robinson go because of this kid.
That's what I was going to ask.
Tyler Lockett level good.
Does that make you worried about Allen Robinson? There's, you know, like I'm worried about him for the rest of the season.
I gave you horrid advice. It's literally going to hurt me. I will never do this again. I thought Lions, they have nothing, and you know the Bears are gonna get Justin Fields going, and
here's the
Carolina's run defense. No, it wasn't close.
No. What I meant was like at the time the call was close. Like I mean, obviously coming away from it, like I asked you, am I going Allen Robinson this week or am I going DeVonta Smith? And I was leaning Allen Robinson. I just wanted some confirmation because when you draft a guy where you draft Allen Robinson, it's really tough to go DeVonta Smith. But DeVonta Smith has looked good. Jalen Hurts has looked good. I'm probably my biggest
Smith over Robinson the rest of the season.
I'm taking him rest of the season as well. DeVonta Smith is looking good. The worst mistake I made, I think, all draft season was just I took Allen Robinson in the third or fourth round as my wide receiver two a lot. And my process was, it's ridiculous that my wide receiver two is going to get 150 targets guaranteed. And that's just not going to be the case. You have to adjust.
Well, and I don't know that that's not even going to not be the case. What we'll see once they get this offense rolling, it's just that they haven't been valuable. You know, aside from the
depth,
you saw a little bit more of it this week, which was good and healthy. I mean, he had three catches, three targets for 63 yards. So that's an average of 20 yards a catch. You get that guy more involved, and, you know, you're not throwing the ball 21 times because you can run 40 times against the Lions.
Right.
Suddenly it gets a little bit more interesting. So hopefully you see some bounce back. But
And then Kadarius Toney.
That guy's the craziest athlete. That guy,
you see what he you see what the Giants moves saw.
In ways. I mean, he took that little bubble screen. He looked like a shiftier Odell Beckham Jr., and that's a terrifying concept with the ball in his hands. Now,
oh, yeah.
Odell Beckham, way different route runner. Way different.
Now,
with the ball in his hands, though, he could take a slant to the house every single play.
Now, the thing that you have to, we have to talk about here is they went and they paid Kenny Galladay. Kenny Galladay's looked pretty good. I don't think that this guy, I don't think Kadarius Toney is like going to replace Kenny Galladay. Now, what I do have to wonder is they've got Darius Slayton and they've got Sterling Shepard. I don't think that, I think that if they get Kadarius Toney integrated, he will be the two. Like, he just has to get integrated into the offense. Now, in a redraft league, with those two coming back, say next week, how long are you holding Kadarius Toney? I mean, are you picking him up this week?
No. Just with the injuries, he's got a chance to come back. I would actually, if people drop Sterling Shepard because of the injury, I would actually go get Sterling Shepard. I think come next year, I'm going to be very high on Toney and the fact that I got him in the third round in our Dynasty League.
See, I really wanted to get him in that Dynasty League because I only had one pick this year and it was in the third round. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, Kadarius Toney, he's coming back. He's
and
falling.
I traded.
He's falling.
I jumped back. Like,
I know. I couldn't believe I got so late.
And I was like, it's in the third. He's a first round pick. Like,
right. Like, he's going to have capital at least.
I traded like a future third and a current fourth and jumped up. Thank you, Ian. I lied to his face and said that I wasn't going to take him and then absolutely took him.
That's insane. But that's wide receivers. We're going to speed around this here because we're running just a little long. We talked about tight ends. Dalton Schultz, Dawson Knox, Max Williams, CJ Uzama. Max Williams is the one we're not targeting. The other three, we're kind of into it. We're looking at Dawson Knox.
And don't go too heavy on Uzama. T. Higgins was out, so they needed another weapon in the passing game. Now, I picked up and dropped Uzama a whole bunch in Dynasty this offseason. And a lot of the players that I've done that with, Cordarrelle Patterson, Tony Jones, I've been right about them. I don't have the roster move to store all these guys. So I've been, as they've hit, I've literally just shelled them out to people because I have a crazy roster. But Uzama is one that he broke out. When Eifert went down, and if he's healthy coming back from that Achilles, which he looked the part, oh boy.
And honestly, this gives me, I know it's a different position, different kind of handling, different body types. This gives me kind of some decent hope for Cam Akers coming off the Achilles.
Yeah, and Marlon Mack, the same thing. Like,
hasn't looked bad.
If you can buy low, if you can throw a second at, it's not going to be a super deep running back classes next year in Dynasty. If you can throw a second for Akers and they're willing to bite, it's worth it.
Yeah, I would agree. Especially if you have like an IR spot or something.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, we talked about this last week. This is where we're going to end the show. Who is your Dynasty number one receiver currently?
Do you want the honest truth?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we want to do because this is where we might fight.
Okay, the current two best de facto wide receivers are Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill.
Right. No, they totally are.
I would, if you are, Jamar Chase. I'm sorry. His floor was 6 catches for 77 yards.
That's mostly if we're looking at rookie or second year wide receivers, like let's start
over AJ Brown, over DK Metcalf, over Justin Jefferson. This kid is legit.
Oh, I think, and his connection with his quarterback is also a huge factor.
Oh yeah,
I really do like Justin Jefferson a lot. I think he is limited by that offense and how they run it. I hate Mike Zimmer. I'm ready for him to be done coaching. I'm not a Vikings fan.
He will be.
He has to be. I mean, like, because every year he gets to blame the offense. And this is the first, last year they had a bad defense. And I don't know. I am of the opinion that Chase is great, but I do love Justin Jefferson a lot. Who is your number one dynasty running back? It's interesting. Sucks. It sucks because Akers tore his Achilles. Dobbins went down. And running backs do not last a long time. So even guys who are young.
I mean, it's still Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's go year. Let's go rookie and year two running backs. For me, I think it's Jonathan Taylor still. I know he had a rough beginning, but I think that's definitely my dynasty, my youth.
I would say the number one, Javonte Williams.
Really? You think that that's just – you like the talent? Now, don't – Najee is a close second for me just based on the way he's been playing, but I don't have faith that they'll be able to rebuild that offensive line to make him –
Yeah, give Javonte Williams the full backfield next year when Melvin Gordon is gone.
Although Melvin Gordon's looked pretty all right. I don't think he looks bad. Like,
no, he'll get a contract somewhere else next year. But Javonte Williams is a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
As soon as he gets involved in the passing game.
Good night.
He is almost what, like, Montgomery had to put in some work to turn himself into what he is now. Javonte Williams is that now.
Right.
And I'm a Bears fan. I'm a Bears homer. I knew about Montgomery from Iowa State. Like, I huge into this guy. Javonte Williams is a different breed.
The final thing that we've got going here is who's your number one dynasty tight end? I think for the next year, still at least, it's got to be Kelce.
It's got to be Kelce. The young guy, if you can get someone to panic buy Kyle Pitts. God, he's an electric football player.
Today,
he just needs to get involved. Oh, my goodness.
Let me know what you think about this trade. Today, I almost traded Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Travis Kelce for Nick Chubb and Kyle Pitts.
I know which league this is in.
Yes, you do. It didn't happen. It did go through. We couldn't pull the trigger. Like, we both couldn't do it. But what do you think about that trade in general?
I think that
in a vacuum, it's a very interesting trade. A definite upgrade at running back. A definite downgrade at tight end. You know, it's just Kyle Pitts is not going to be a top tight end this year. He's not. He's unless he scores a ton of touchdowns here. I mean, he's getting volume, but that offense is bad. Cordarrelle Patterson is getting touchdown work. It's an interesting trade, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would have taken the CEH Travis Kelce side.
See, that is the side that I am. I am Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah. The only thing that stopped me from taking the trade is like, I just can't give up the positional tight end advantage. Kyle Pitts will be good. I think he will be good in the next 2-3 years. Like, if they use him that way, he will be very, very, very good. But Travis Kelce's too good right now to do it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's our show. We kind of ran long today. I'm Andy. That's Adam. You could find us on Twitter at Andy Heideman, at Adam Sky Fantasy. We're out of here.
Peace.